Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mitch, along with Davis Maddock with you here on the show. It's a football Friday, so naturally we're going to preview the weekend from a daily fantasy perspective and talk about who you should be putting in your lineups this weekend. So stay on the grid for that, no doubt. But Davis, of course, we're going to recap last night's game. My goodness, if that was a game, I don't even know how I would describe it. I've definitely, through the years, seen some games that I wish that I hadn't. And I guess this sort of gets exacerbated when it's the only game on television. But my goodness, to think that we just witnessed an actual NFL game on a Thursday night in a field goal fest was, the adjectives just, tell the story themselves, right? It was as rough as it could possibly be.
That's gotta be truly one of the worst primetime games I can imagine. I believe the statistic that was going around last night was that the last time there was an NFL game on primetime with no touchdowns, I believe it was 2000. I think the Seattle Seahawks were involved. I did not fact check that myself. That was sourced from Twitter. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. My biggest takeaways from last night's game, and unfortunately we are going to have to spend more time on it. But one, I don't really care how much they spent on this team. I don't care. Hackett absolutely has to go, because the number one thing we heard players saying last night, players on Twitter, we got, Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky, all these guys who used to play who are media personalities, is that locker room is going to be ugly. There's going to be finger pointing. We saw KJ Hamler banging his helmet in frustration. He was open. And you point in the fingers, and you're not going to point the fingers, I don't think, at your $250 million quarterback that you traded 3 first round picks for. Hackett can't have a job, right? He looks clearly overmatched here.
I think he does, and maybe for a data point, if you want to go back to our early shows in terms of previews, I was very concerned about Russell Wilson when what I saw at the end of last year. I was not sold that this was going to be a year, and I don't jump on a grandstand very often, but in watching his games with Seattle at the end of last year, I was not sure that it was him. I understand the coach is under full indictment here, but I got to tell you, I think that a better quarterback, Denver would look better. I think Russell Wilson, I am very concerned that we've come to, sort of the end of the line here for them. Let's get to our headlines here. We'll dive more into this for sure. Last night, Colts as a 3.5 point dog, they went outright.
You know, we got to debate Thursday Night Football too, I think, at this point. I think it's fair to start asking questions. Out of 17 games, if six are good, is this worth continuing? Baseball postseason begins in 1 hour, Cleveland and Tampa Bay. We got great games going on. I can't wait to sit back and watch these. By the way, the NHL season starts at 2 o'clock Eastern in Prague, and also the Patriots placed Brian Hoyer on the injured reserve list. Mac Jones supposedly may have a chance to start this weekend, but if it's the Patriots, so you really can't believe anything there. So, you know, going back to this, let's touch on this Thursday night here for a minute, because I understand that Amazon Prime paid a lot of money. I'm enjoying the broadcast. I think it's really well done. The stream is fine. But this is just like an age-old question that I think that, by the way, Davis, is going to start to gain more steam as we go here, because the product is unwatchable for at least half of the season. Like, this is not like we're getting 12 out of 17 good games. We're just not. And I don't know if it is scheduling. I don't know. I would guess, Davis, that the way that the coaches approach this is like, oh my gosh, we have to play on Thursday. We got to dumb this down to make sure we survive. It kind of feels like that's the direction that these teams go on Thursday night.
Well, I mean, just like that's a thing overall in the NFL right now, is that, and coaches will tell you this, right? Offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, they'll say the rules for practicing, right? So you can only have, it's like the amount of contact practices you can have in a season has changed. The overall length of practices have changed. You know, if we were having these games in the 90s, well, also football has changed so much, right? So and 20 years ago, teams were running the ball like 55% of the time, and the linemen pretty much knew their job. The running backs knew their job. Teams pretty much had one good wide receiver. Offenses are way more intricate now. And I think another thing we're going to see on these Thursday night games is teams that have been together for a while are going to look better. I mean, think about these two teams, right? Two new quarterbacks. We got a new head coach, new play caller in Denver. We have new wide receiver. You know, it's all new for Denver. And then, you know, we have Matt Ryan trying to learn the Frank Reich system. Whereas, yeah. I mean, you know, you put the Chiefs on Thursday night, right? You put the Packers on Thursday night. Just these guys who have been together forever. You know, they don't even need play calls sometimes, right? Travis Kelce on the Manning Cast telling us he doesn't even listen when Mahomes is talking in the huddle. He just runs whatever he wants to run and wait for Mahomes to find him. Like, that's actually something I hadn't really thought of until right now. I think betting Thursday nights moving forward, I'm gonna start considering that angle a little bit more.
Yeah, I would say that no matter when the NFL is on, people are going to watch. So it should make no difference whatsoever to Amazon, NFL Network, ESPN, or anyone else when the games are played. I think it is time to do away with it. And by the way, I would not put the games on Friday night.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Because I definitely have a ton of respect for high school football, and they should get their moment on Friday night. But college football is all day long and into the night. You just have a Saturday night game at 8 o'clock. Everyone is going to watch. The ratings are still incredible. And you're not going to get this trash. And next week, Chicago and Washington? Like, I mean, Amazon, whatever. They're still going to get great ratings, and people are still going to watch. But we've deteriorated to a point where games are unwatchable. And we'll talk more about the game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It'll probably be the most comical fantasy standout segments we've had since Fantasy Sports Today started several years ago here on Sports Grid, because I mean, not a lot to really love coming out of last night. I know that on my teams in particular, in one league, I had Brandon McManus. I know he did miss a field goal, but I got my 9 points there. So I was like, all right, save that. And another league, I played Gordon. And I looked at Davis 3 quarters through the game, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting like a 4. And then all of a sudden, like, they started throwing him the ball a little more, and he started running a little. But I think the takeaway from last night was you probably are going to go into the weekend, if you played anyone on Denver and Indianapolis, being down. Going at some point this Sunday, you're going to be down in a game.
I mean, yes, definitely. Probably the number one guy that hurt people last night. I would assume that if you went across all fantasy leagues, the two most, well, Sutton and Jeudy, obviously, yeah, but sure. Then we have Hines, who would have been a borderline start. I know that I unfortunately did start Nyheim Hines in one of my high stakes leagues in the FFPC main event. 1.8 PPR points, suffered what looked to be enough. I mean, just these head injuries in the NFL are getting, it's just very disturbing to watch, but we kind of had a Tua situation with Nyheim Hines. And that is obviously going to leave you in a huge hole if you started him. And then, you know, I would assume Melvin Gordon was also started in a fair number of leagues. And, you know, just really, he did play the most. I mean, he kind of played more than I thought he would. He was 40 out of 73 snaps for Melvin Gordon. And then he was just playing so bad that they started playing Mike Boone more. Boone didn't really do anything either. There were probably some people who, there were definitely some people who lost Javonte, spent a bunch of fab bucks on Mike Boone, said, I don't really have any other choice. I'm going to start him. And, you know, Latavius Murray wasn't even active last night. He's going to be active in 10 days' time against the Chargers. We'll see what happens there. Michael Pittman Jr., probably the biggest bust of anyone you would have started in that game, just got eaten alive by Patrick Surtain.
All right, let's go through the standouts, if you want to call it that. Matt Ryan, unfortunately, looks like it's the better days are just so far behind him. Fumbling again, 2 interceptions, 251 yards passing. Deion Jackson, hey, looks serviceable. Maybe we'll see more of him in the future as a backup. 62 yards rushing, also caught 4 balls out of the backfield after Hines got hurt. Alec Pierce is getting more involved in the offense. I would guess no one used him in any league. And then Michael Pittman Jr., 5 for 59. So, Davis, the Colts, they saved their season yesterday. They could have easily lost that game a million different times. They blocked a field goal. Wilson didn't throw up, you know, 4th and 1. He couldn't even complete a pass. Crazy. So they sort of stay alive here. I guess the question is a quarterback change going to do anything for the Indianapolis Colts? It almost seems like they're forced to at least consider it, which is sort of sad because Matt Ryan, I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's not going to happen right away, but I think he's one of those guys that as time goes by, we're going to look back and say, you know, got to the Super Bowl with Atlanta. But I mean, this just can't continue like this with Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not benching him right now, right? They are 2-2-1. That technically means they are leading the division. Like we've been saying pretty much this entire time, 9 wins might take it in this division. We thought that was, I personally been thinking that's one of the reasons why we're going to have to wait and see Malik Willis. We might not even see Malik Willis at all this season. Yeah. If the Titans end up winning 9 games. I mean, I personally am rooting against the Tennessee Titans in every single game, you know, waiting to see some Malik Willis. So Alec Pierce did have a good game. He had 16 PPR points last night. I mean, are you ever starting Alec Pierce? Like, not a chance, right? I mean, Alec Pierce, deep 12-teamer, 12-team league, 20-man rosters. I think he needs to be rostered. He does have, you know, whatever deep ball role exists in the Indianapolis Colts offense, he does have it. So after Nyheim Hines got injured, he played only 3 snaps last night. Deion Jackson played 46 snaps, ran 25 routes. Philip Lindsay played 30 snaps, ran only 11 routes, 13 carries for Jackson, 11 carries for Lindsay, 4 targets for each of them. Remember, those numbers are inflated a little bit by the overtime period. I mean, I spent, you know, some $1, $5 bids on Deion Jackson over the last week. Feel pretty good about those. Really, it's just going to depend on, like, does Jonathan Taylor actually have a high ankle sprain, or is it, is Jonathan Taylor this indestructible Terminator and he's going to be back in 10 days' time? But I mean, the Colts are looking like one of the worst teams in fantasy football, right? I mean, Mo Alley Cox, yeah. Kylan Granson, Jelani Woods. Definitely there were some people who spent some fab dollars on Mo Alley Cox after the 2-touchdown game. We started him last night, and they definitely had a bad time watching that.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, as David said, 9 wins, it may get it in. Maybe that's why Ryan gets to stick around, at least for now. Colts are definitely in a tough situation at quarterback yet again going into next year, no matter what happens. All right, now over to Denver. And the Broncos couldn't even use their home field advantage against a team that couldn't do anything in Denver last night. It's getting ugly. Russell Wilson, 274 passing yards, 22 rushing yards. He threw 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, and that's final 100 yards were like in the last quarter of the game. Melvin Gordon, hey, he salvaged 10 points. I guess he can't complain. Mike Boone does not look like a player, so maybe Murray is someone to add if he's still out there in a fantasy league. And then Cortland Sutton, 5 for 74. So it's like when you talk about Wilson, and I know we've hit on this a little bit, usually, Davis, when you get to this point, you don't see a Hall of Fame quarterback sort of struggle in a new place and just like a remedy happens and all of a sudden it just clicks and he's great again. Usually this is the trajectory for the other way where it ends. And, you know, I just don't know. I kind of feel very sad to watch this play out the way that it has. You're probably indicting Hackett a little bit more than me at this point. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was 60-40 or 50-50. Russell Wilson could just run for his life and throw 5 touchdowns as far as I'm... If he could still do it, I think he would do it. Like, I'm not buying that this is all the coaching at this point. I just don't know that he can do it, and it makes me sad to watch.
I mean, certainly to say this is 100% on Nathaniel Hackett is so wrong, right? I mean... The interception that Russell Wilson threw when he was targeting Jerry Jeudy in the end zone last night, I mean, that's an interception that Nick Foles throws. That's an interception that Carson Wentz throws. That is not only poor mechanics and poor velocity, it's just poor understanding of the situation, right? I mean, that is not a throw that a Hall of Fame quarterback makes, right? Mahomes in his life has never thrown that interception because it's just such a clear misreading of the defense, and Russell Wilson is supposed to be really good at that. If you wanted a little bit, I did dig this up. If you want a little bit of optimism, reason to believe that things might turn around for the Denver Broncos, Tom Brady ranked 21st in expected points added per play over the first 9 weeks of his Buccaneers season, right? So we were like, Brady, the Buccaneers, is it going to work out? And then if you go from week 10 through the Super Bowl, he was number 1 in the NFL in expected points added. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying the Broncos can't make the playoffs. I'm not saying they're dead, right? And Russell Wilson, the deep ball looked really good against the Raiders. Like, I think that the thing that made Russell Wilson in Seattle is still somewhere in there. I think the things they're going to have to figure out are how to not just be in 2nd and 9 all the time. I think they need to be more aggressive throwing on first downs. And I mean, I think that they probably need to figure out their tight end situation because they've been, you know, Eric Sobert, they're not playing Alberto, and they are getting Greg Dulcich, I think, back off of the IR when they play this game against the Chargers in week 6. And I think that could help things.
Yeah, maybe so. And again, you never know with these sort of things. It is the NFL. Things change week to week. It just hasn't looked good thus far. I would tell you that a few weeks into the season, the team that we thought looked like the biggest idiots of them all are smiling pretty big right now, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, you got to believe right now that they are feeling like they pulled off the best trade in the NFL in the offseason when we were fully indicting them for just giving away Russell Wilson. How about that? No, never thought I'd be saying that about Pete Carroll today. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next, our buddy Jim Sadis.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The house from FanDuel and Number 5, we're going to break down the slate coming up this weekend. So stay on the grid as we come back here on this Football Friday of Fantasy Sports Today in just a couple of minutes and help you win daily fantasy next here on Sports. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. All right, time now to get your FanDuel app out as we're going to help you this weekend and help you make some money in daily fantasy. Jim Sanis is with us as he always is on Fridays to help us set our lineups. Of course, Davis is getting ready over at DailyRoto.com to help you as well. And the three of us will walk you through the salary structures this week. Hey, Jim, great to have you on the show again. Happy Friday to you.
It is great to be here. Happy Friday to both of you as well.
All right, so let's get started here, and let's take a look at the pricing. Last week, I know we ran a little short, didn't get through it all. I want to make sure that we handle all of that this week before we kibitz too much here on the show. So let's take a look at the quarterbacks this weekend. We'll start off with Josh Allen, who faces off with the Steelers. He is the highest-priced quarterback at $9,000. Jalen Hurts has been a must-play every week at $8,800. Justin Herbert with a very interesting matchup this week, I think, in Cleveland. At just over 8,000, Kyler Murray has been hit or miss at 8,100. Tom Brady, probably the lowest we've seen him priced on FanDuel in some time at 7,800. Trevor Lawrence checks in at 7,800 or 7,600 as well. I can't see very well these days, Jim. Sorry about that. But regardless, you can. Tell me this week in terms of the pricing, how you see this weekend going.
Yeah, you don't need to squint to realize Jalen Hurts is the top guy on the slate for this week. Facing off with Arizona, the best game for stacking on this slate. It's a decently tight spread, a very high total. That game is indoors, and Hurts has been outstanding for fantasy this year. Despite having just four passing touchdowns, he's actually due for some potentially positive regression, which is weird to say for a guy who's been as good as he has. So Hurts, to me, if you're playing a cash game, you lock him in and go from there. You could potentially deviate for tournaments. I think Kyler Murray in that same game, despite the way things have gone, I'll just keep beating my head against this wall and going with Kyler Murray at times. $8,100, a fair salary for a guy who does have some rushing upside for this week. The other guy I think you can look at is Justin Herbert, $8,200, facing off with the Browns. They're a team that want to, you know, keep things on the ground, not a super fast team, but Herbert showed last week he can still be an effective passer without Rashawn Slater and without Keenan Allen. So I like that game a decent amount. I think that there are paths to an under there based on the fact that it is a good rushing matchup for both these teams, but I do still like Herbert. So to me, Hurts is the obvious one and the guy you want to build around. Murray and Herbert potentially pivots, and then Teddy Bridgewater if you want to save a lot of salary, assuming Tyreek Hill is good to go to be limited in practice on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts is clearly the best play. He is on pace to shatter Lamar Jackson's rushing record. I believe it's 176 is the most amount of rushing attempts by a quarterback in one season. Hurts right now is on pace to almost beat that by 25%, on pace for 234 rushing yards. And actually, you know, for tournaments, generally you'd think the guy who is going to be the cash game quarterback would be a little bit overowned. But what's interesting is A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are also both projecting for single-digit ownership. So I think there are ways to play maybe the most popular quarterback in tournaments in ways that your opponents aren't going to dupe. I'm also pretty interested in Trevor Lawrence this week against the Houston Texans. They have been a little bit, I mean, they've been a lot better on offense than the markets were suggesting. And, you know, Houston has been just frisky enough. We've seen basically they've gotten offenses to at least play four quarters against them, more games than not this season, which is a pretty big deal. And you got Christian Kirk and Zay Jones built in there as your easy double sacks. And Lawrence will run, you know, just a smidge, right? I mean, a 16-yard rushing touchdown from Trevor Lawrence, would not be like Tom Brady rushing for a 16-yard touchdown for sure.
Yeah, Jacksonville's played fantastic outside of the you know, two quarters in the rain in Philadelphia. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. Jacksonville's offense has been as good as any team in the NFL, honestly. It's been great. All right, running back. This is always the dynamic of trying to figure out who the 100-yard guy is who's going to score a touchdown this week. Nick Chubb is going to lead the way for the Cleveland Browns. He is priced at 9,400, followed by Austin Eckler, who had his breakout game last week at 9,000. Derrick Henry also not bad last week. Christian McCaffrey caught some passes. He's at 8,700. Jamal Williams came through in his solo spot last week. I believe Swift probably misses this week. You guys will correct me if I'm wrong on that. And then we have at an $8,000 running back and James Robinson there for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I think for me, weirdly, I love spending up a running back typically, but this week it's all about the mid-range and the lower salary guys. Dalvin Cook, $7,300 facing off with the Bears. Good spot for him. Not the best usage so far, but part of that may have been he got hurt in that one game and then last week kind of coming off that injury. I think Dalvin's in for a good week from a usage perspective at a low salary at $7,300. Breece Hall took over the Jets lead back this past week. $6,600 for a guy who's getting a lot of work in the passing game. 17 carries, 6 targets this past week. I like that game a decent amount. I think it's kind of fun. The total has gone up about 2.5 points from where it was on Tuesday. So, you know, there's been some movement towards the over there. So I don't mind Breece Hall. And then also Devin Singletary and Ramondre Stevenson, both those guys, $6,000. Singletary, the better like cash gameplay because he'll be on the field probably 80% of the snaps or so. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are going to score some points against the Steelers. But Stevenson, in a good spot, facing off with Detroit. We've seen what teams have done to them this year. Stevenson is playing about 55% of the snaps right now, getting work in the passing game. I know Damian Harris has been the goal line guy, but I do like Stevenson's role still. So weirdly, a lot of interest in the mid-range and the lower range for me at a spot where I'm typically paying up.
Yeah, I mean, the death of the running back position probably is like the most interesting storyline this year. Like, Jonathan Taylor has a high ankle. The Panthers are the worst offensive team in football, so we don't really want to use McCaffrey. Nick Chubb has been really good, but on FanDuel, I think sharply, they have responded to the way their 0.5 PPR scoring system works and have just, you know, way juiced him up in price. Derrick Henry, 5 targets in back-to-back weeks, but DFS players are largely anti-Henry. He never ends up being that owned. Probably the biggest stance I want to take this week is buying the production from Jamal Williams last week. His snap share got reduced. And I do wonder if kind of it's just one of those things where it just got away from the coaches. I don't really think that that Dan Campbell or Pete Carroll wanted to play the 15th highest scoring game in the NFL. I think they both were just like, how does this keep happening? Why are we, you know, it's just breathless out there. Justin Jackson is subbing in and running passing routes. I think in what is going to be a much slower, much more, you know, ground heavy, the negative pass rate over expectation, I would not be surprised to see the Patriots guys combined for 39 carries and to see Jamal Williams get over 20 carries on his own. And I think the market is moving on from Jamal Williams after the huge performance last week. I'm pretty, pretty interested in him.
All right. Well, let's go over to wide receiver where Cooper Kupp should be priced what he is. The guy, you know what? I think last week, did Kupp go under his receiving total finally? I think he went. Oh, he did went over again? This guy never goes under. I mean, what are we doing here? We're on a sports betting network. All we should do is bet Cooper Kupp's over on his yards and do nothing else and go home. Just talk about it 24 hours on Sports Grid. It wins every week. Anyway, I guess it's just not fun. Justin Jefferson, 8,800. Stephon Diggs, 8,600. Tyreek Hill, 8,400. I believe Amon-Ra St. Brown missed practice again yesterday, so I'm not sure he's playing. 8,200. And then A.J. Brown, Jim, is 8,000 going into the week. So I'm guessing you're going to give us some names that are not on this list here.
Yeah, we might, but actually we've got some ability to spend up this week based on the lower salaries of running back and the lower salaries of tight end. So Davis mentioned A.J. Brown earlier. I love that. I think that's a great option. You're $8,000. Given the workload he has gotten, about 33% of the team's overall targets so far this year, a lot of deep work, a lot of work in the red zone too, and hasn't scored a lot so far this year. So I'm hoping people are kind of off of him because of that. But A.J. Brown, in a tremendous game, you can run it back with Marquise Brown on the opposing side, assuming he's good to go. I like that game stack a lot. I don't mind doing it with Devontae Smith either. At $6,600, I think that game in general, a great spot to go for your wide receivers. I do have interest in the Dolphins guys as well. Obviously, the backup quarterback here, Teddy Bridgewater, but Teddy might be the best backup quarterback in football, fully competent and able to run that offense. I think the Jets secondary long-term should be okay with Sauce Gardner being there, but haven't looked great so far, and I think we can still go at teams facing them. So whether it's Tyreek Hill, again, assuming he's healthy, Jaylen Waddle has a groin injury as well, if those guys are good to go, I like both them in a spot where that game could be pretty fun from a point scoring perspective. So I actually have the ability to spend up at receiver this week, which I don't always do. If you want to spend down, Drake London once again, 62, Chris Olave, 69, both those guys undervalued relative to the roles they've currently got. But the studs this week, really, really fun at wide receiver.
I mean, studs at wide receiver every week. I just always want to play Cooper Kupp. I always want to play Justin Jefferson. I always want to play AJ Brown. I agree with everything Jim said. The one guy I'm going to add in, Khalil Shakir. So if Isaiah McKenzie is ruled out with concussion protocol, Jake Kumerow is on IR. Jameson Crowder is on IR. They're going to have to call a wide receiver up. Dawson Knox has also not practiced this week. I think Shakir is probably the best value play wide receiver we have seen this season. 31-point team total against the Steelers, likely to be the slot wide receiver there. And I don't know who's pushing him to the bench. I don't think Isaiah Hodgins would be. So Shakir is my deep call for the week.
All right, and let's cap it off, guys, with the tight end position. Let's run through this real quick. TJ Hockenson, after his huge week last week, he's the highest price at 7,000. We have George Kittle, who, yikes, is off to a rough start at 6,500. Gerald Everett, who had a good week last week, 6,300. Goddard at 61. Taysom Hill, still getting a lot of playing time at 6,000. And then Zach Ertz at 5,900, Jim.
Yeah, it's pretty boring to keep saying Tyler Higbee, Tyler Higbee, Tyler Higbee, but also I'm just going to keep on saying Tyler Higbee. $5,500 for cash games. You lock him in and don't look back. Just the workload he's getting is too good for me to pass up for $5,500 on a slate where there's no Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce. If you want to pivot in tournaments, David Njoku, $5,700 in a pretty enticing game. And Njoku's role has been pretty good. Not a lot of deep work thus far, but he's an athletic tight end playing in a pretty high total game. We know where the targets are going on the Browns offense. So I think Njoku is a tournament pivot off of Higbee at 55.
Yeah, I definitely agree. One other deep name, Cade Otton. All the tight ends for the Buccaneers are ruled out.
There you go. Hey, Jim, have a great week. Appreciate you coming on as always. Good luck with all of your players this weekend in Daily Fantasy, and we'll catch up again next Friday.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Stand up with us. Catch us work over at FanDuel, Number Fire as well. We'll be back for Fantasy Reality. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. You can follow us on social media on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread. We got a couple coming up. Naturally, for all of our shows this weekend, make sure you catch in-game live all access. Lots of baseball postseason football coming this week. We got baseball games starting in about an hour from now, so stay on the grid for that. Speaking of which, Davis and our picks have been really good this season. Davis and I are doing one pick a week for you against the spread. We don't have a standings board. Maybe we'll create one. But after 4 weeks of football, I am 4-0, undefeated, including taking three underdogs that have won outright. Davis is 3 wins and 1 loss on the season, and I'm very excited to get his pick for the week, and then we will see where we are after the week is over. So, Davis, what do you got for this week? Who are you going with?
I have the Tennessee Titans as a 2.5-point road favorite, which, you know, obviously goes against many of the old school betting thing. Carson Wentz has basically been the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this season. He is 28th out of 32 in EPA per play, only slightly better than Mitch Trubisky, who just got benched, Davis Mills, and Justin Fields. He has the 6th highest sack rate in the NFL, in terms of adjusted yards per attempt. He is only better than Joe Flacco. And normally I am an anti-Titans guy, right? Normally I never take the Titans. I would never, you know, picked against them as they, when they were the number one seed in the playoffs at home, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, if I just look at what type of team can beat the Washington football team, it's just a team that doesn't make mistakes. And the Titans don't really make mistakes. It's just that they have a hard time. You know, you put the Titans against the Chiefs or the Bills, they can't keep up, right? But you put them, I mean, the Washington football team has been the worst first half scoring team in the NFL. Worse than the Bears, worse than the Panthers. Like, they can't score points. So I got the Titans this week. And I think we are about 10 days away from either Ron Rivera getting fired or Carson Wentz being benched.
Yeah, it's interesting that in all the times we've done this, I don't think we've ever gone head-to-head against each other on a pick. We're going to do it this week. Tennessee is going to be probably the one of the most publicly bet games this week. They're 2.5-point favorites. I would have loved to get 3 with Washington here, and make no mistake about it, I don't like Washington. In fact, I took Tennessee last week to beat Indianapolis, and they won the game outright. That was my pick last week. I, in terms of like looking at like rankings and ratings and looking at these two teams, I just don't see a very big difference between these two teams. Washington is at home, which means in general, you're automatically given, 3 points to the other team. And in this case, somehow Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. I don't like Washington at all. And I only think they win about 4 or 5 games this year. Probably don't even beat the Bears next Thursday night. I just think this is a great matchup for them. I think the division that Tennessee plays in is horrible. I put no credence whatsoever into that win over Indianapolis, especially after watching them play last night. We're going head-to-head. I got Washington this week winning the game at home. I don't even need the spread, but I'm going to take 2.5, make no mistake about it. But I'm not doing money line on this one. I'm going to take the 2.5 points, and then we will see where we are at next week. If I lose this one and Davis wins, we're tied going into the second quarter of the season. So we will see what happens this weekend in Washington. All right, now let's kick it. It's time for some fantasy or reality. American League Division Series starting later today in Toronto. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Blue Jays have the home field advantage over the Seattle Mariners. Seattle, one of the very big surprises in Major League Baseball this season. I think some people thought going into the year they had a chance to be good, but their pitching was fantastic. And of course, they have the rookie of the year in the American League and Julio Rodriguez. On the other side, you have the Toronto Blue Jays, a team with some postseason experience. And obviously they have, George Springer and Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and some pretty good pitching at that as well. Naturally, there are some that feel that this series could go either way. If you look at the series price, Toronto favored, but not insurmountable. So let's do a fantasy reality here as we start with this one. Game starting later today, by the way. Seattle Mariners will advance the American League Division Series with a win over the Jays.
Yeah, I got fantasy here. I think that the Toronto Blue Jays are the better team. Now, maybe the Seattle Mariners have the best team, or the best player, right? Which in NBA, we would say the team with the best player advances a huge chunk of the time. I think you could certainly make a pretty reasonable argument that that Julio Rodriguez is the best player in this series. Some people would maybe argue that Luis Castillo is the best starter in this series, and that that Alek Manoah is worse. But I'm just kind of looking at the markets. The Blue Jays are -130 favorites today, +158 on the run line. I think that market has this pegged just about correctly. And I just think the Blue Jays are a hair better. I don't think that this is like a total gulf of class between these two teams, especially because Vlad, after being a real MVP candidate last year, really looked more like the guy who just can't stop hitting ground balls this season that he was for the first couple of years of his career. I got the Blue Jays as slightly better, and I will I'll make my bold proclamation that Matt Chapman ends up being the hero for the Blue Jays in this series.
Very surprised. Going against your guy, Ty France. I'm surprised. I'm going to take Seattle here. Yeah, I think Seattle's pitching is better. I think it goes 3 games, and I think in the end, the Mariners end up winning. I think start to finish, there's no question that Toronto played in the tougher division for a long period of time. But look, in the end, Seattle had to go up against Houston. I saw them in person a few times this year. I was really impressed with their starting pitching. I think they can go 3 or 4 deep there. Castillo, definitely a very big wild card. You really don't know what you're going to be getting from him. But if he pitches well over the three games, I think they have a chance to win. So definitely a coin flip type series for me. I think that they made the Blue Jays too big of a favorite in this. I will take Seattle to advance the American League Division Series. And by the way, if Seattle plays the Yankees, I'm not sure that they will. I think Seattle could beat the Yankees in the next round too. But we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge when we get there for sure. All right, college football is always fun this weekend, but there really aren't a ton of ranked games. So you really kind of have to go through it this week to find the good ones. But there is one this weekend that a lot of people have their eye on. No matter what Kansas's record is right now, there's still a lot of non-believers out there. The power rankings are not showing Kansas being as good as they are. They're undefeated, obviously. They're undefeated against the spread. This is going to be their biggest test. And I probably, you know, said that last week against Iowa State, but this really is going to be their biggest test. They're going against a very good TCU team. TCU is 7-point favorites on the road. Fantasy or reality, Horned Frogs at Jayhawks is the college football game of the weekend. Scary thought here.
Yeah, I mean, the College Game Day is coming to Lawrence, Kansas. I believe the first time that College Game Day has come to Lawrence since 2007, the Todd Reesing, Jake Sharp, Kansas Jackson. Brett's telling me it's the first time ever, which is, unbelievable. I certainly hope for a resounding Kansas Jayhawks victory. And, look, Heisman voters, if you have anyone but Jalen Daniels as your Heisman guy right now, you are wrong. It's like, you know, Bryce Young looked awful against Texas. CJ Stroud. I mean, it's like all these games that CJ Stroud are playing in are basically, I mean, friendlies, right? See, the Ohio State plays like two real games a year. I don't think Ohio State players should ever win the Heisman, really, given the level of competition that they face. Like Jalen Daniels, if the season ended today, is the Heisman guy. And if he wins this game, he should really be the Heisman guy. Now, will KU go undefeated? Will they make the college football playoff? Like, no, they're going to end up losing to Oklahoma State or, you know, some terrible game here, because that's the way college football works. But yeah, total reality, this is the game of the weekend.
Yeah, it's sort of stunning that Alabama, you know, a game that you would have penciled in, like, you know how they do the games of the year early on, that October the 8th, you have Alabama taking on Texas A&M, and that's not projected to be a good matchup. Alabama's 24-point favorites over the Aggies going into the week. You know, I looked at Florida State, North Carolina State. I mean, that seems like a pretty good game possibly, but, I mean, Davis may be right here. It's just like, There aren't a lot of great games. So I think just by default, this gets the main one. I hope it is a competitive one. Honestly, I hope that Kansas wins. Yeah, I mean, I think that would be great for their program if they did. TCU, I think, is the far better team here. But who knows? Maybe an upset happens. Getting 7 points at home certainly will be compelling. I got reality with David. I can't find a better game in college football. It's just one of those things this week where the schedule just is not great. All right, finally, new movie coming out, Super Mario Brothers movie. The trailer was released yesterday, and certainly this will be another video game movie that will be out. A lot of people will be interested in it, for sure. But we thought we would take this to a different level, and this will probably tell a little bit more about us. I know it'll tell more about me than anything else, unfortunately, in my age. But fantasy reality, Davis, Super Mario Brothers, or Super Mario 64, was the first video game you ever played. Now, for those of you watching, and even Brett, come on, Brett, I'm an old man. You think Super Mario 64 was the first game that I ever played? You know that that's a fantasy. But let's use Super Mario Brothers. Well, at least that one, I wasn't like 30 years old by the time that came out.
Yeah, so for me, this is a fantasy. The first video game that I ever played was Crash Bandicoot Racing. On the PlayStation 1, I got the PlayStation 1 for Christmas when I was 6 or 7. I don't remember which one it was, 6 or 7, but and the game that came with it was Crash Team Racing. I think the first sports game I ever played would have been like NCAA football, like 2001 or something like that. That's a boomer thing, remembering the old PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 college football games. What a time to be alive those were. But yeah, this is a fantasy. But I did, my grandma still had a regular Nintendo that my uncle had when he was growing up, and we did play Super Mario Bros when we go over to my grandma's house.
Yeah, I definitely had the original Nintendo. For some reason, I don't think I got the Nintendo 64. So, you know, very clearly, this is the big fat fantasy for me. I'm going to be 50. So the first video games I played, Davis, were on the Atari 2600. Those were the games for me. It came with the plug-in joystick. All you could do, one button, you move it back and forth. I had football, I had baseball, I had, all of those games. That was the original. Some people actually had something called an Intellivision. There was a game called Pong where you just hit the ball like this one little, you know, digital Pong back and forth. I wasn't there for that. Atari 2600, that was the first video game system I had. And I would venture to say, played a lot of other ones way before that. I was huge into video games back then. But I would also say, I don't know if this counts, Brett, but I played arcade video games before I even played the Atari 2600. Atari 2600 was the first game system I had in my house. But Davis, we used to go to the arcade in the 80s and put the quarters in, man. And we would just sit there for hours and hours.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. My experience with like arcade games is like adult arcades, like where you go and drink and they have pizza Boston, and right? stuff. And that, yeah, well, and they, you know, there are local bars like that here in St. Louis and Kansas City that have them. I'm a huge fan of Golden Tee and the Simpsons mm-hmm. arcade game, the OG one. Are both have fond memories with both of those.
Yeah. Definitely used to play. You know, we used to get there 6, 7, 8 o'clock, stay 3 hours. I would ask my parents. We'd have a big bag of quarters and just be putting that thing in for hours. That was my playtime back in the 80s. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. Kevin and Donnie standing by next for the early line, and then I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Craig and I always end the show with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60. So we're dealing with, obviously a huge number of injuries right now in the NFL. Turns out that playing a very high contact sport at high speed, pretty bad for the human body. Who could have guessed? You know, all kinds of wide receivers are missing this week. Tyreek popping up with an injury on Thursday. You know, we got Jahan Dotson out with a hamstring injury. And, just a reminder to everyone out there that you can never have enough wide receivers in fantasy football. I got a couple teams where, Tyreek is headed to the bench probably this week. And let me tell you, it's a very freeing feeling to be able to sub in Drake London or Terry McLaurin instead of having to go, you know, Hunter Renfrow or, one of these Giants guys, David Sills or whatever. You can never have too many wide receivers, Craig. Words to live by.
Yeah. You also could not have enough fast runners. The New York Mets have put Starling Marte on their postseason roster, despite the fact that he hasn't played in a couple weeks. They've also added Terrence Gore, Davis, to their postseason roster. Why does Davis know who Terrence Gore is? Because he's got a lot of World Series championships without doing very much, except for running. He made the Mets roster in the postseason, going for, if I'm not mistaken, a fifth World Series title, probably the most anonymous World Series winner ever. But it just goes to show you that if you can run fast, you can stick around in all sports for a long period of time. Hey, thanks everybody for watching the shows this week, no doubt. I want to thank our guest, Jim Sanis, for coming on the show today. As always, previewing the Daily Fantasy. Also, thanks to our friends over at LTN and our great graphics department, my co-host, Davis Matic. Also, thanks to George Kurtz for coming in for me this week, no doubt. Also, thanks to our producer, Brett Levy. I'm Craig Mish. Coming up next, it's the early line. Then I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll recap fantasy football on Monday morning for you. Until then. See ya.